All right, here we go, guys. So this marks the first short segment I'm doing in my podcast. So about every third episode, I'm going to come on and I'm going to do a very short segment on some aspect of Detroit. I'm still going to do my interviews, but it's an exciting development in this show. And I'm excited to tell you a little bit more in detail about what the city is all about and its identity and its history and its cultural aspects. And I'm very fired up about it. But a lot of good things happening in Detroit. By the way, on the side, it is second week in April and we're finally getting a break in this weather, finally starting to see some sunshine, some moderate temperatures are finally here. And this week, opening day is taking place. I noticed that at Comerica, they've been testing the big screen for maybe the past 2 or 3 days. So they want to make sure everything's, going off without a hitch. But here's what I'm going to do today. Today, I am going to tell you about the Cass Corridor. So, with this Detroit segment that I started doing, I've reached a point of reflection in the show where I've had to take a step back and say, oh shit, I got to get this right. This isn't just me, fumbling through interview, getting to know a guest and being stupid. This is me telling you about some aspect of Detroit. So what I'm going to tell you about today is about a very important neighborhood that older generations remember, but younger ones are increasingly not being taught. The neighborhood was called a few things: Detroit's Red Light District or Detroit's Old Chinatown. But to many, that new Detroit in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, this notorious area was widely known as the Cass Corridor. You may know it simply today as Midtown. But Cass Corridor was named after Lewis Cass, who was a lifelong politician and the second territorial governor of Michigan. It's territorial governor because Michigan wasn't a state yet. Michigan became a state in 1837. And there's a lot more to Lewis Cass than just his name, both bad and good. But check that one out on your own if you're interested. He's an interesting character. But to those that don't know Detroit, the main highway artery that runs through the heart of the city is I-75. 75 runs all the way in the south from Miami, Florida, to as far north as Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, which is in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, right on the border with Canada. But as you drive 75 north past the skyscrapers in Detroit, on the left-hand side of the highway, you'll see Little Caesars Arena. You can't miss it. It's a big building. There's neon lights. That building is the home for the Detroit Red Wings and the Detroit Pistons. It's roughly at that corner that is the start of a rectangle running 10 blocks to the north that make up Cass Corridor. More specifically to locals who know the city, the geographic area in 1971 was defined as from Cass Avenue on one border to a few blocks over to Third Street at the opposite border, and from I-75 roughly up to Wayne State's campus at Prentiss. The street names many are fond of are Canfield, Willis, Alexandrine, Selden, Brainerd, Myrtle, Peterborough, and of course, Temple. The corridor was quite simply a poor neighborhood with Detroit residents of all different kinds. There were students and artists who lived there on the cheap. There was an article that I read that even said, quote, "Generally, those who lived there were white and came from the mountains of Tennessee, West Virginia, Kentucky, and Western Pennsylvania. The neighborhood remained primarily Appalachian after the war," meaning the Second World War. And in the early 1960s, there was an organization that referred to it sarcastically as, quote unquote, "Little Kentucky," closed quote. So it was an interesting area. It was diverse. It sounds like it was very white after the Second World War. But there were a lot of artists. There were a lot of African Americans. There were a lot of Native Americans. And from this area spawned some notable artists, including Sixto Rodriguez and Tyree Guyton. The White Stripes even played their first show at the legendary Gold Dollar on Cass Avenue. And that was between Peterborough and Charlotte. So it was a Monday night in July 1997 when Jack White took the stage and said, quote, "All right, we get to bore you for two or three songs," close quote. The set was only 9 minutes long. The Gold Dollar was a legendary shithole bar, though, that you would only visit at night and had great live music. Some people touted it as the best bar in Detroit. The Gold Dollar opened in 1930 and was a popular drag bar between the 50s and 80s. Sadly, though, it became owned by a billionaire businessman who most of us, if not all of us, know his name. But in 2016, this guy was listed as the 86th richest person on the Forbes 400 with an estimated personal wealth of over $6 billion. The bar would mysteriously burn down in 2019. Through my own discovery process, though, I found someone who was a business owner in the area and just a wealth of knowledge. She owns a family business that's been there since the 1940s, but both her name and the place will remain anonymous. For those that know the area, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. She's a great person. She's such a sweetheart. She's rough around the edges, which I like even more. And, you know, she's she's somebody that swears and tells it like it is. But through my own discovery process, I found that her old stories were fantastic. She was patient with me, telling me stories about the neighborhood and even showed me her old black and white photos of her family, which was really touching and really personal, which I appreciated. So to that same woman who self-admittedly doesn't even know what a podcast is and likely will never hear this, thank you. But it was through her that these words came out, and I paraphrase. The neighborhood was so much more than what it is now. There was bars everywhere, on every corner, even all across Detroit. There were black and white. There was even a lot of Native Americans, too. But who knows where they went? But there was a lot of businesses that went out of business. A couple places were closed due to prostitution. One bar owner died in his bar. The prostitution hotels were closed up and bulldozed. All the banks left and the churches started moving in. And white flight was an important aspect of that. And it should be not glossed over. It should be read a little more if you appreciate Detroit's history. But the one common denominator that affected all these places except the churches, because they were tax exempt, was Detroit taxes. It was hard to build. Property taxes were quite exorbitant for the time, and it didn't make sense for a lot of people to live in Detroit or to operate a business. And with newer developments in the city, bars such as the Comet, Park Henry, and Bahamas all went out of business because a cab company sold the land so that LCA could be built. For those of you that don't know what LCA stands for, it's Little Caesars Arena, which is a mega structure. Even through the 90s, though, in Cass Corridor, there was homeless people, drugs, violence, and prostitution. Terribly, there was even a serial killer lurking in the area in the 70s, if you're familiar with the history, called the Oakland County Child Killer. I won't go into it because it's tragic, it's awful, but that history is there, and it was connected with the Cass Corridor. Now, the Cass Corridor wasn't defined by that person, but it was one small microcosm, one small example of the people that were there. Now I'm getting myself in trouble as I speak because certainly 99.9% of the people that inhabited that area were not reflected by that person. But the Cass Corridor was definitely Detroit's red light district, and understandably it wasn't the safest. It was a seedy area. Now there's a new problem that's bending its will to the area, and that one's called gentrification. It's a word we're all familiar with, and it's, I would say, relatively a new problem, and that's exactly what this business owner said too. So this is so funny. So talking to this source of mine, she says, quote, "They all have these fucking bike lanes now and they want to rebrand it as Midtown. Yet nobody asked us. Nobody took a vote on it. People have forgotten what Cass Corridor used to be and its significance. And then you get these assholes coming in that want to save us and save the corridor, but those people never thought to themselves, maybe those people never asked to be saved in the first place. You get these landlords that come in and charge like 3 times the rent cost to their tenants, who also happen to be my friends, and they get forced out of business, and they pick up and move, and they have to operate in a place like Hamtramck, which is another neighborhood of Detroit. Overall, though, the Cass Corridor will never be the same place again. And for many reasons, that's a good thing. But the ugliness of that neighborhood will always be a part of Detroit's history. It'll always be a part of its culture and its one-time identity. The way I see it, this is me just talking here, it's kind of like a family that has some ugly secrets about it. You know, if you see a family, they project a certain image that they want you to see. If you're a member of that family, it's the same thing. But a lot of times there are some bad aspects about that family, you know, maybe some bad relations, some fights, some skeletons in the closet. And that might not be the best metaphor, but that's kind of how I like to think of it. But overall, Cass Corridor, even though it had its seediness and its bad aspects, there were still many good blue-collar people throughout those decades that were just trying to squeak out a living as business owners until, for one reason or another, they had to close down. So as you can see, there's a lot of layers to even just one small neighborhood of Detroit. Now that I've gotten into it, I've really been captured by it, and I expect this to happen in the future. I've started talking to more people. I understand that there's stories that have never been told. There's an oral history of the place that will never be posted online. And I'm glad to be a part of it. And I might even do a Cass Corridor part two and just go to a different layer of the onion, so to speak. And so with that comes the end of this episode. I hope I was able to give you a little bit of a history lesson that you can't find on Wikipedia. And that's all I got. So I thank you all for listening, and until next time.